As you know, this morning when you came into the meeting, you saw myself, my wife, and our little baby boy, Josiah. And he's only eight weeks old. And he's brought a lot of joy into our home that we never imagined. And the Lord has been so good. But through the week there, I was seeking the Lord and praying for a message, for the gospel message on the Lord's Day evening. And I was walking about the house as I usually do, and I was looking at some of the gifts and some of the presents that people had given to us for our little boy. And I picked up one of the books that someone had given to us for a gift. Now, as you know, he's not able to read yet, but we tell him the stories, and he giggles and he laughs, and we like to think he can understand. But I lifted up one of the books, and one of the books was called Good Night, Moon. And I don't know whether you've heard it or not before, but it's a wonderful little book. And so I sat down and I started to read through this wonderful little story rhyme. Good night, moon, and good night, stars, and good night, bed, and good night, everything. And I was just praying that night that I would have a good night's sleep. But I was reading through this little book, and I got to the back of the book, and there was a little blurb, just a little few phrases in the back of this storybook. And this is what it said. It said, "This classic bedtime story, which has lulled generations of children to sleep, it's the perfect first book to share with a child." And as I read that, the Lord said, "You've got your message." You see, as I read that little verse, this classic bedtime story has lulled generations of children to sleep. I automatically thought about the gospel. And I thought of how the gospel is the light of God. And I thought of how men and women that are in darkness without Christ, they're headed to a lost eternity. And then I started to think about some of the excuses that people would give for not being saved. And then my mind turned to the book of Corinthians. And it says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in." And so I thought to myself, I'll think of some of the bedtime stories that the devil has used to lull generations of men and women that are not saved to a lost eternity. You see, if you were to go out into the streets of Lisburn tonight, and you were to get people by the side of the street there and take them through a questionnaire or ask them questions about salvation, they don't want to know. And as far as they're concerned, there's no God, there's no Bible, there's no Christ, there's no heaven, there's no hell. And the devil has them all to sleep. And that's why I read this wonderful little verse here tonight. "How long will thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of sleep?" And you see, the only thing tonight that is going to awake a soul from death is Christ. The only thing that is going to shake a man or a woman out of darkness, shake off the shackles of sin, is Christ. I remember before I was saved, I was sleeping the sleep of death. And maybe there would have been a night where I would have went to bed and went to sleep and never woke up the next morning and ended up in hell. And I remember when I heard the gospel, oh, it was a trumpet call. It was a clarion call. It was, as our brother's been reminding us this evening, a behold. A clarion call to turn to Christ and be gloriously saved. Now, that's enough for the introduction. Let me give some of the Bible, the devil's bedtime stories that has lulled generations of unsaved to a lost eternity. You see, the first thing is this. So Satan does not want you to know he exists. Probably the greatest lie that the devil has ever told, and the greatest story that he has lulled generations of men and women to a lost eternity, is this one. He doesn't exist. And I can tell you tonight, dear unsaved soul, that the devil is as real as any person in this room. As real as any person. And I can tell you tonight that before I was gloriously saved, I didn't really have much bother with the devil. He never really bothered me, because he knew I was headed to a lost eternity. But see, when I got saved, I realized that I was coming up against a foe that is so mighty and so powerful. As a matter of fact, he's here tonight. And as the gospel goes forward in all its glory, he'll be doing his best to keep it back from the heart. You know, we could take the parable there of the sower. A sower went forth to sow seed. The seed is a picture of the Word of God. And some fell on the rocky ground, and some fell on the thorny ground, and some fell on the hard path, and some fell on the good ground. And then you have a picture of the devil coming in as the birds, and he's snatching away the good seed. He would seek to do that tonight. And you see, that's the only reason why, and the only way he can be exposed is through the light of the gospel. He would want you to believe tonight that he doesn't exist. Well, he does. And if you don't get saved, you'll be headed to the same place he is, a lost eternity. The second thing the devil uses, and one of the ways he has lulled the unsaved to a lost eternity, is this: that there's no God. And so because there's no God, you're not accountable to anyone. You see, if I knew tonight, in which I do know by the grace of God, that there's a God in heaven, and he's seated on a throne, and he sees all things, and he knows all things, that means he owns me, whether saved or lost, because he's Lord of both the living and the dead. And you see, the devil would like to tell the world tonight that he doesn't exist and that God doesn't exist. Go out there and live your life the way you want. Go out there and do whatever you like. Eat, drink, sleep, and be merry. Because there's no God to give an account to. And you see, that's the reason why we see such turmoil through our world tonight. That's the reason why, as it was in the days of Judges, every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes, because he's his own God. And let me tell you tonight, even dear unbelievers and dear believers as well, the devil has never changed his tactics since the Garden of Eden. The same things he told Eve in the Garden of Eden is the same things he'll be telling you tonight if you're not saved. Just be your own God. Do your own thing. Control your own destiny. Be your own maker. And that way it frees you from accountability to a God in heaven. But you see tonight, dear unsaved soul, God is the creator of the universe. And if God is the creator of the universe, God has the right to do exactly whatever he wants and what he wills. And so God one day will bring every man to an account. He not only tells us that he doesn't exist, he not only says there's no God, so just live your life whatever way you want, but he says the Bible's only a fable, just a wee story. We were doing door-to-door work there in Lurgan 2 or 3 weeks ago now, and I was going down through the street of Lurgan, and there was brethren on one side, and they were knocking the doors and speaking to different people, and there was one house just at the very, very last of a terrace row. And before I had the gate opened and was walking up the path, the front door was open and there was a lady standing at it. She says, "I saw you coming up the pathway from the top room." She says, "I'd be ready for you." And I says, "Well, you've met your match." And we stood at the door and we talked for ages, and we spoke about many different things. And she kept on going back to the Bible. She says, "But the Bible's only a book." She says, "It's just a story." She says, "Everything you've said to me just now, you're always going back to the Bible. It's a good thing to always go back to the Bible." She says, "It's circle reasoning." I says, "Well, dear lady, if you would think about what some of the things you've said just now, yours is circle reasoning too." I says, "God has given us the Word of God, and it's not really just a story, but it's an eyewitness account of every man who ever had a dealing with God, or who every man who ever had a dealing with Christ in the New Testament." I says, "Imagine you go down to the news agent, sir, and you pick up a paper. And the front headline of the paper is something really snazzy, you know, something to get your eye. And there was someone there, and they were giving an account of something that had happened, an eyewitness account of an atrocity or whatever the case may be. I say, would you doubt it?" She says, "I would have no reason to doubt it, because I would believe it to be true." Well, I says, "It's the same thing with the Word of God." I says, "Here we have in black and white God's wonderful, inspired word." He said he would preserve it, and it's here in this platform. God's wonderful, inspired word for men and women down through the generations to know his plan and purpose for their life, and how he could get and how she could get gloriously saved. An eyewitness account. And so whether historically or whether morally, or rather fundamentally or doctrinally or any other one of the things you want to think of, this Bible, 66 books, written over 4,000 years, is perfectly cohesive the whole way through. Not one contradiction. I said to the lady before I left, I said, see, when you get saved, come down to Morneview and tell me. And she laughed and we went her way. So not only does Satan say he doesn't exist, and not only does he say there's no God, so you're no accountable to him, and not only does he say the Bible's a fable, but you know what else he says? He says science has all the answers. All the answers. And I fear that today, in our schools, that evolution is one of the greatest hindrances to the gospel. You see, these boys that stand up, and because they have about 6 letters after their name, PhD and DD and all the rest of it, people just think it's true. And so, because we don't really hear much teaching on creation and how to expose these false boys, well, then we don't know any different. And there's Christians out there today and they believe in theistic evolution, which just simply means that God allowed man to evolve from a monkey and all the rest of it. It's a load of baloney. And you see, if we would only get back to the Word of God, and we would only see that the Bible has all the answers, be some truth. And can I tell some of you younger believers in the meeting that go to school and one day you'll go to college and you'll be bombarded with all this stuff. And unless you believe in evolution and unless you go wholesale to it, you'll not go on in life. It's a load of lies. It's lies. There's no missing link. There's nothing that can be found to show it to be fact. All it is just hype and media. Again, it's just so men can do their own thing. One man said one time in relation to evolution and in relation to God, he said, we can't prove evolution to be fact. But basically is this, we don't want to believe in God. For if we believe in God, God will interfere with our life. I said he couldn't show evolution to be true. But you see, the only other alternative was God and creation. You see, not only does the devil say he doesn't exist, and not only does he say there's no God, so you're not accountable to him, and not only does he say the Bible's a fable, and not only does he say science has all the answers, brother mentioned it there before he finished. He says, put salvation off to your older, or just put it off to another day. You see, tonight, dear unsaved soul, the devil does not want you not to get saved. The devil will never come to you and say, you're not allowed to get saved. The devil will never come to you and say, don't get saved. He'll just say to you, put it off. It's crafty. Proverbs 27 and verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You see, he knows if he can get you out of the meeting and out of the message and the sounding forth of the gospel, he can get you to put it off another day. And if he can get you to put it off another day, and another day, and another day, and he can give you all these excuses, man, he'll just reach over and he'll tilt the cot and rock you to sleep. Someday you'll wake up in a lost eternity. And you see, the scriptures tell us, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, tonight, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Do you know, the final thing the devil doesn't want you to know is this. He's been defeated at the cross. Defeated at the cross. And if we were to turn over there to Colossians, I think it is, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us. And he rose again from the dead. He made a show of the devil openly, triumphing in it. And it points us to the cross. And tonight, dear unsaved soul, the only thing that will cut through the lies of the devil and the excuses of the unsaved soul is the cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary. And when you just for a moment get a glimpse of Christ hanging in your guilty room instead, and just for a moment by the grace of God and the revelation of Christ, you see him dying there for you. And you realize all your sin was laid upon him, the Lamb of God. And in them 3 hours of darkness, bearing the wrath of God, going into a tomb, saying he'd be in there 3 days and rise again, and and I'm doing it. And rising again from the dead, and showing himself by many infallible proofs, as Acts chapter 1 says. And ascending into his Father's throne and taking his seat. Do you know, brethren and sisters, tonight it's a glorious truth for those of us who are saved. If the Lord Jesus Christ said he was going to come, and he did. And if the Lord Jesus Christ said he was going to die, and he did. And if the Lord Jesus Christ said he was going to rise again from the dead, and he did. And if the Lord Jesus Christ said he was going to go into his Father's glory, and he did. He said in Acts chapter 1, if I go, I will come again, and he will. And tonight, dear unsaved soul, it would be an awful thing for the Savior to return. It'd be an awful thing to you still be in your sleep and still be in your slumber. And then suddenly wake up, and you're left behind. The Lord Jesus Christ has come back for his church. Hallelujah. But there might be a few in the meeting and you're not saved. And as the scriptures say, or as that lovely hymn would say, we do not want to leave you lost and alone. We want you over there. I heard that hymn for the first time up in Coke Baptist last week. It's a solemn hymn. It's a moving hymn. And there's many in the meeting tonight, and you've unsaved loved ones. And oh, you're longing for the Lord to come back, but you don't want to go just yet because they're not saved. Dear unsaved soul, tonight would you be wise and heed the gospel? How long will you sleep? How long will you slumber? It says, arise from the dead. Christ will give you life. May God bless his word.